Hi there, I'm Seth Juarez from Channel 9 here in the Envelop VR offices, and we're going to learn how us ordinary devs can take our applications and make them work in VR. Let's go. Hi there, my name is Seth Juarez from Channel 9. We're here on the fifth floor in downtown Bellevue of like a really downtown kind of office in Bellevue. We're in the Envelop headquarters. I'm here with Bob Berry. How are you doing, bud?
Very good, thank you.
So Envelop is kind of an interesting company name. Tell us what you do.
Well, the name behind Envelop is the fact that we envelop you in VR, virtual reality. Basically what we do is we take your entire Windows desktop computing experience. We bring the whole thing into VR. And that includes all of your like legacy flat applications.
Wow.
And we provide a pathway for them to extend themselves into VR through our SDK.
That's interesting because like VR is kind of a hot topic right now. For those that might be living under a rock, what is VR, AR? How would you describe
it? It's kind of a big thing.
It is. It's
right?
Huge.
Yeah. So virtual reality is when you are fully immersed in a virtual world and your brain thinks you're somewhere else. Right? Augmented reality is where we take your normal reality, we put virtual objects in it. So what AR and VR actually is a spectrum of opacity. How opaque is my display? How virtual is my display? Right? So it's not kind of a either or, it's really a spectrum of virtuality.
Now, for developers, I'm a dev, right? It feels like we have this new way of doing programming, but I'm not artistic. I don't know how to do 3D things. You're saying that there is a way to do what we already do and make it work in the VR space?
Yeah, I mean, right now, if you want to work in virtual reality, you have to have a very specific skill set. You need to either know like Unity or the Unreal Engine, or you have to be an expert in real-time graphics and real-time simulation. But what about all the other developers out there that have a different skill set, like JavaScript programmer or native, you know, Windows application developers? How can we enable them to do virtual reality, augmented reality? So that's kind of what our SDK does, is it democratizes VR development by enabling those programmers to use the same programming paradigms that they have, that they use today, and we enable those to work in VR.
So it feels a little squishy to me, right? For
yeah.
me, I'm a programmer. I like to like get a sense for how I would go about doing this. What would be a process for a developer to take an existing application mm-hmm. and make it work using the Envelop SDK?
Right, so let's take a native application, for example. Let's say I'm an Excel developer,
okay.
right? Well, Excel has a plugin model. So what I would do is I would create an Excel plugin that integrates our SDK, and with just a few lines of C# code, you can actually have Excel suddenly become aware that it's now in VR. And with not too much effort, you can, you know, for example, create immersive graphs and charts. So I could select some data on a worksheet and export an immersive scatter plot, you know, where now I've got the data in an immersive environment. I can stick my face in it and I can look around and experience data in a completely new way. It doesn't require a lot of code.
Again, it sounds like too good to be true. So as a developer, I just use the SDK,
mm-hmm.
and now my application is 3D aware. I mm-hmm. call some APIs that are in your SDK and say, make this 3D? I mean, I don't. Is that basically what it is?
You can think of these 3D resources just like you would like an image on a web page, right?
Okay.
You're going to fetch an image from a server and display it in a web page. Now you can do the same thing with 3D models. Hey, fetch this 3D model from some, you know, server, pull it into your VR environment, push it in to the space, and then allow the user to like manipulate that object, you know, with predefined controls.
So if I have a website, for example, that I'm building to sell products,
yep.
I could have 3D images of these products,
mm-hmm.
and when I add it to the web page using the Envelop SDK, I can say, now pop this out.
Yeah. I mean, you can imagine like many sites already have 3D models on the page where you can kind of like spin the object around, right?
Right.
Somebody created a 3D model, right? And now maybe I've got like a little kind of 2D flat viewer for that 3D model.
Okay.
But what if that web page could detect that you're actually running in virtual reality and say, oh, you're in VR? Let me give you a VR preview of this model. And I press the VR preview button and the 3D object actually pops into my VR view at the correct scale. So if I was like shopping online for a tent on Amazon.com or something, mm-hmm. it could say, you know, this says the tent sleeps 6 people. It's like, well, how big is that, right? I still have no idea how
right.
big a tent is. But if you were in VR and the web page integrates our SDK and it says, oh, you're in VR, let me give you the VR preview button. You press that, it says Amazon would like to put you in a virtual environment. You say yes. Suddenly you're inside the tent at the correct scale, right? With the actual 3D model.
And that's kind of cool, right? Because like when they say sleep six, they mean sleep six children of 3 years old, right?
Exactly.
3 year old
yeah.
children. And so it's cool to do that. And then also when you're looking at to buy like a bag, for example, you want to know if your laptop fits. That's pretty cool. So those to me feel like static models. Is there a way mm-hmm. to do dynamic models
absolutely.
So tell us about that.
Yeah, so the Excel example that I just gave is an example of a dynamic model where you can actually, through the SDK, generate all the mesh data on the fly programmatically. So I can define what the verts and the indices, what kind of shader I want to use on it, you know, and that is how you create like a dynamic 3D model, like a scatter plot or a bar chart or something like that.
I see. So now, like, look, I'm a data guy and I love 3D in my charts, but I always tell people only use 3D when the extra dimension has value.
Exactly.
And now in the VR space, it can have value. Mm-hmm. Is there a way to interact with the model with your hands? Is there a way to, like, for example, I'm looking at the scatter plot, can I like make it bigger or smaller? Is there a way to do that with Develop SDK?
We currently support both the Oculus Touch controllers and the HTC Vive controllers. So you can pick up the controllers and you can manipulate the model.
So it feels like I've covered everything that my brain can think of. Mm-hmm. What else can be done with the Develop SDK that I just am not even thinking about?
It's really hard to comprehend until you put it on your face and try it, right? Like that's the biggest problem with virtual reality. Like it's hard to show it in video. It's hard to explain it with hand wavy motions. You put it on your face and you're like, oh, I get it now. And we'll walk you through some demos of both the native SDK and the JavaScript SDK so you can get a sense of what's possible. We have several demos on our website. In fact, we even have a live coding website where you can actually like look at our samples and modify them in real time and actually see. With the headset on, yeah.
That's
using the Microsoft Visual Studio Code Editor, like
embedded
in the web page.
You don't even need like the full blown Visual Studio. You can use Visual Studio Code right away.
Yeah, and it's using the embedded Monaco.
That's awesome.
Editor is pretty cool.
Awesome. So let's do this. We've talked about it enough. Let's take a look at what.
Let's try it. Yeah.
All right. Let's do it.
So here we have the main Envelop VR website.
Awesome.
From here, you can go directly into the developer portal because we're here to talk to developers today.
Absolutely.
And we're going to jump right into the samples, and we're going to look at some JavaScript samples today.
So are you going to go through the code with me?
Yeah, but I think it'd probably be better to have our SDK engineer like walk you through.
Awesome.
It.
So what's his name?
JJ.
All right, let's have JJ come on.
All right.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, JJ, what's your name? Oh, I know your name, but what do you do for Envelop?
I'm the lead engineer on the SDK.
So. Awesome. So you say it in a short way, too. You must be a real programmer, because
We
don't really like to talk about stuff like this.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so let's get into this. If I'm a programmer and I want to, it looks like this is this for website stuff? Or tell me about this SDK. Walk me through sort of an example.
So we actually have support for .NET and JavaScript currently, and it all sits on a C++ layer, so we could have a C++ SDK once we work on that. But I'm going to focus on the JavaScript for now.
Let's do it.
Okay. So I'm going to put my headset on.
Oh, so we're going to go full 3D.
Right. So the neat thing about this is you can develop in VR without taking your headset off. So you don't have to constantly taking the headset on and off while you iterate. So
that's awesome. So right now you're putting the headset and you're looking at the Envelop view of your website.
Yes.
Okay.
So okay. I see this page in front of me in VR. The text is legible. And right here we have basically the editor from Visual Studio Code that we've integrated into the website. So we get full IntelliSense and autocomplete and everything for all of our types and everything. So that's very nice.
So what am I looking at right now? What is this doing?
What is this doing right now? It's just sitting here, but as soon as I click the play button, I get a sea of cubes around me. So that's what's going on in this.
I see.
Right. And the cool thing is I don't like those blue cubes. So I can come up here and I just change the blue to green and you see I have autocomplete there.
Uh-huh.
So I just change that, hit play, and now the cubes are green.
But they're everywhere.
They're everywhere. They're all around me. So that's what this nested for loop is, you know, X, Y, Z. So all I'm doing is creating a bunch of cubes.
Holy cow. So let's walk through this code because I want to see like what it is that you're doing. So you're looking at it in this like virtual three, Which is kind of cool because I can see both screens and the audience, we're going to show you sort of what he's seeing. Walk me through these lines of code. So I see an EVR create scene.
Right.
Where is this actually running? Is this like client-side code, server-side code? What's going on?
So this is all running in the browser in this case. Yeah, it's all running in the browser in the JavaScript.
Okay.
And then what it does is the scene is actually creating a WebSocket connection to our application. And there's an application server running inside of Envelope for Windows.
Okay.
That processes all these API calls asynchronously. So that's one of the strengths of our SDK is it's completely asynchronous. So even if your browser or application isn't running 90 frames a second, like VR applications have to maintain frame, so you don't get sick.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because it's all asynchronous.
Got it.
Our application is running 90, your application doesn't have to.
So I see this EVR.createScene, that's your API making mm-hmm. an asynchronous call into your APIs, and then a promise is returned.
Yes.
Once it gets the scene, then you can start interacting with the scene.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so everything kind of hangs off of that scene object. So here we're subscribing to errors. So mm-hmm. as we get errors with our API call, they show up in the console. In that case, it's down here.
Nice.
And then we have a few concepts like meshes, materials, and then a blueprint is a combination of a mesh and a material.
Okay.
And once you have a blueprint, you can instantiate it. And so in this case, we create one blueprint for a cube,
okay.
a green cube, a blue cube, whatever. And then in the for loop, that's where we instantiate it. So you can see we actually have a concept of standard resources.
Okay.
So that when you want to prototype things, you don't have to go to a content creator and create models and export them and everything like that. Sometimes it's easier just to prototype with cubes or spheres.
Got it.
So here we're saying, hey, scene, create a standard mesh resource, cube, and then a material that's green, and then we combine those two into our blueprint.
And then you're creating a quaternion to sort of get the rotation of it.
Right. It's an identity quaternion, so we don't need orientation on them right now, but we do need a rotation for the instantiation.
And then you just go through and dynamically are creating this new cube, which is the blueprint object that has both the material that's over the top of it and the actual mesh of what it is.
Exactly. So. And we're actually using a third-party math library called GLMatrix in this case, but really you can use whatever math library you want, as long as it just returns some array type of values in the order we care about.
So for space, how do you know where things are located? Like, where's zero? Is zero, zero where the person is standing? I mean, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, zero, zero is at my feet. So that's how we've initialized it for because sometimes it's nice to have a floor in your scene. Like,
right.
We have a car demo, and it's nice to put a floor, and it's easiest if zero is at the floor because everyone's height is different. That's one of the problems with VR. One of the trickier areas is everyone's a different size. So one of the things we use to work around that or to help with that is you can get the person's head position. We have observables. So almost any object in the scene, including the person's head, their hands with controllers, you can add an observable to them.
That's
and
awesome.
Then you get asynchronous events back saying, hey, here's an updated position.
And so you could, based upon the updated position of people's heads or their hands, you can move whatever the blueprint things are.
Exactly.
So you mentioned our coordinate system. 000 is where you're standing. Is it your head 000 or your feet?
My feet.
Okay, so your feet is 000, and then you sort of go reference off of everything off of that.
Right.
So
and you can instantaneously get the position of the person's head, like at an app initialization time, if you want to create a UI that's in kind of headspace.
Uh-huh.
Like if they're looking over here, I might want to pop up, a UI right here.
Mm-hmm.
So I can instantaneously say, create an object.
Right in front of a face.
Right in front of the face. And then I can start attaching a UI to that because we have an entire scene graph API for that.
That's amazing. So we talked about coordinate systems. I see that there's some things called standard resources. I'm guessing that you have like cubes and spheres and whatevers.
Cubes, spheres, quads. And then also the materials. So,
what are the standard materials that you have?
The primary colors, a few secondary colors, and then we also have unlit materials, because the default materials are lit, so they receive the scene light.
Got it.
But sometimes you want things to not be lit.
Right.
Like our window contents for your applications are not lit because you don't really want lighting on your Excel spreadsheet or something like that.
Got it.
So, or at least I don't.
So now we've seen like sort of a demo. Can you show us something that's more real life of how someone would use this?
Sure. Let's see here. Let me bring this one up.
And that's interesting because your mouse right now is working in three space, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's some of our special sauce is the mouse.
Nice. Yeah, because now the mouse is working in a completely different sort of space.
Right. And if you ever lose track of the mouse, you can waggle and there it appears right in front of you.
Awesome. So what are we looking at now?
This is our car configurator.
Okay.
So we have a fairly typical car configuration web page.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I kind of want to see the car.
Yeah.
So I can just click the VR view, and there's my car over there.
Can you spin it around and stuff?
Yes, I can.
Dang.
And now I'm going to actually take it up a notch by busting out a touch controller.
Cool.
And so I can just spin the car right there. And the other neat thing is I can still interact with my 2D application with the controller, so I change it to blue or yellow.
That's cool.
Here's the other neat part. I can click on the car, and the web page updates. So everything's running in the web page. So
that's pretty amazing. Like, now I need to ask you, like, is that a model file that you're loading up?
Yeah.
And then how are you dynamically changing the color with all the lighting being intact?
So I talked about observables. Uh-huh. The other observable properties we have are material properties.
Okay.
On your custom, you can create entirely custom materials, and you can access any property of that through our observable systems.
I see.
So the web page can say, change the primary and secondary paint colors to purple and a slightly different shade of purple for the paint flex.
That's awesome. Is this sample available online as well?
This one isn't currently, but I think we can get it up there pretty quick.
Awesome. So now we've looked at a lot of web page stuff. Is there any like Windows application that you can show me and how that works?
Sure. So I'm going to slide this over. Actually, let me get rid of the car.
I've never said that before, especially a nice car.
So I'll bring this up in front of me.
And that's cool that you can push how far or back it is as well, right?
Yeah.
Because I saw some guidelines that were showing you like where it was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what are we looking at?
So this is Excel, just straight up Excel.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a plugin that uses our .NET API.
Okay.
And I can come here and just click on a scatter plot, and there is my data in 3D.
Holy cow, can you zoom into it? And
yeah, so we have full scale. So I can really get in there and the data's right in my face.
That's really cool.
We have a full transform gizmo for rotation and scale and translation. So this is just our standard gizmo. If you wanted to do custom interactions, you get full access to the controller.
So like for example, I do IoT stuff and I want to print my own things. Now I could imagine a scenario where before you actually print them, you can actually render that model in your particular Envelop SDK so you can actually see if the model is going to work.
Exactly.
That's amazing. All right, well, what else do you have to show us? I mean, it feels like you've kind of gone through everything.
There's a lot more. There's actually, we cover a lot of the API surface area on the samples page.
Okay.
So. I could go back to some of that if you wanted, or we have a room demo.
Let's go to the room demo. I want to see the demo because I think I understand the SDK.
Okay. Let me bring that over. Sorry, I don't have my environment perfectly set up. There.
You know, what's cool, though, is that, look, I mean, between us devs, remember that one time we got two screens and we thought we were like the boss of all bosses? Imagine having a virtual desktop where you can literally put anything.
Right.
That's kind of cool. All right, what are we looking at now?
So this is just a little kind of a dollhouse kind of sample. So I'm going to tell it to use the controller. And I have a desk in front of me. And if you look closely, that's my head right there.
Yeah.
And there's the controller. And this is kind of playing with scale a little bit. So I grab things in on the desk, and you see a full-size one moves around. So this was kind of our little office configuration sample. So I move this little toy plant, and the full plant is moving in front of me. Or I move the car, and there's the car. My little coffee mug.
Well, I look, I'm sold.
Or if I want to put the ceiling fan right.
Oh, nice.
There.
Well, look, I'm sold. I got to get Bob back on to ask him how much this stuff costs so cool. I can start to work on it.
Awesome.
So let's get Bob back over here.
Thank you.
All right, Bob. So I'm sold. Like the SDK, I totally understand it. It's something that it augments what you're currently doing in either a C# project or a JavaScript project. So how do I get started and how much is this going to cost me?
Well, it's not going to cost you anything.
Okay.
You can download it for free. The platform is free on envelopvr.com.
Okay. Awesome. And is there anything we need to know about getting started?
No, VR is, it's a wild, wild west right now. Right. Like anything goes. And I think we haven't even just begun to scratch the surface of the amazing use cases that like this kind of application platform makes available.
Fantastic. So where can people go to find out more about your company and about what you do in general? Because I'm sure people are going to be excited about this.
Yeah, everything you can find on envelopvr.com or email us at info@envelopvr.com and we'll get back to you.
Awesome. We'll put those links down below so you can see them. Again, thanks so much for being with us. Thanks so much, Bob. JJ, thanks so much. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. You've been learning about how to use VR without having to be a complete genius in that stuff with Envelop SDK. I hope you use it. Send us messages if you do use it. We want to see what you do with it. Thanks so much for watching. We'll see you next time. Take care.